I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Do you support or oppose the Twitter ban? That's the subject of today's debate. It kind of feels like we're bringing back I Beg to Differ, right? But for one night only. Do you get that feeling? I don't know. Maybe we should bring back I Beg to Differ permanently. I don't know. What do you think? Tell me. Just let me know. Tweet. Oh, no, you can't do that. Send me a message on Facebook and Instagram, or maybe an email, sandra@nigeriainfo.fm. If you want I Beg to Differ back, and tell me why, all right? Also, if you don't want it to come back, also let me know. But anyway, let's get into today's debate. Let's get into it, shall we? It's the biggest conversation online right now. One of the biggest conversations in Nigeria, period. The federal government has banned access to Twitter. Today's big hard fact is according to StatCounter. StatCounter says that 39.8% of Nigerian internet users were on Twitter. Now, I should tell you, Lagos, that we're streaming this conversation live on Facebook. We're also streaming it live on YouTube. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Now, I've got debaters in the studio with me. In the red corner supporting the ban is a public commentator. He reached out to me, incidentally, on Facebook. And he said to me, Sandra, how can you say nobody supports the ban? I support the ban. I have a bunch of other people who support the ban. I'm ready to come and talk about it. And then I messaged him. I'm like, okay, cool. Come and talk about it. He said, wait, really? That's how it works? I'm like, yeah, you know, come and talk to me about it. His name is Kolawole Adekunle. Kolawole, thank you so much for joining us on Hard Facts.
Thank you, Sandra. And good afternoon, Nigerian.
In the blue corner opposing the ban is a policy analyst, Chief Andy Oboforibo. Welcome back to Hard Facts.
Is it blue corner because I'm for Twitter?
And Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. What are your thoughts or your questions about the Twitter ban? And let us know which points made by the debaters you agree with or you disagree with. You can also make fresh points of your own as well to help whichever side that you agree with. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. WhatsApp is available. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Kolawole, tell me, why do you support the ban?
Once again, good evening, Nigerians. I think if you look at what is going on in the world, there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation going on online. And there is a lot of consensus that are actually pointing at social media and the tech giants, that they are the one abetting and abetting these acts of misinformation, malinformation, and disinformation.
Right.
And Twitter seems to be one of them. In fact, Twitter is actually one of them.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. Look at what happened. Look at the incident that occurred in Nigeria recently, where Twitter actually banned a tweet, a very innocent tweet by the president, and they left a lot of violent, inciting, sovereign, threatened, and what have you, kind of a tweet being tweeted by hip-hop leader Nnamdi Kanu. But an ordinary warning from the president, which simply says, guys, what did I do wrong? Am I not leading you guys according to the Constitution? Say, if I'm leading you against the Constitution, let me know. However, if there is anybody that wants to, you know, or that seems to be threatening the Constitution according to Section 2, Subsection 1, which says that Nigeria is indissoluble and indestructible, which simply means in our Constitution we don't have secession. And not just that, these guys have been violent. Look at what is going on in the Southeast. Nnamdi Kanu has been inciting young fellas, young Nigerians, to be destroying things, to be destroying national properties, to be killing soldiers, all our uniform men. They are killing them. And Twitter never saw that as something that is against their policy. They left it. They left such tweets. They left it lingered. An ordinary warning from the president. They said that is completely against their policy. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. For me, that's a bias.
Okay.
And if Twitter, as a tech giant or a social media platform, cannot provide you know, a platform that will be unbiased, that will be just and fair for everybody to exercise their freedom of speech, then they are not supposed to be in business.
Okay.
They are not supposed to be in business. For example, we are talking about freedom of speech.
Right.
According to the Constitution of, according to the United Nations,
It's okay. Take your time.
Freedom of speech and expression may not be regarded as being absolute, which simply means everybody, we all have our freedom of speech, which is all the same thing as the freedom of expression, but this expression is not absolute. We need to understand this. It's not absolute in the sense that there are common limitations and boundaries to freedom of speech, which simply means that freedom of speech and freedom of expression carries a moral burden, e.g. libel, slander. You can't say because you are free to express yourself, you can say things that can, you know, that can hinder the sovereignty of a nation, or that can hinder other people, or that can be threatening, or that can be violent. You can't be inciting all these kind of things in public. Okay. And you don't see it as something that is wrong. And that was exactly what Nnamdi Kanu was doing.
So to understand, the reason you support this ban is because you feel Twitter was being biased and allowing some inciting tweets to stay up.
Twitter was being biased.
And allowing.
Exactly.
All right. Let me come to Chief Oboforibo. I gave him 3 minutes to make his opening statement. So I'm going to be giving you 3 minutes as well to make your opening statement. Why do you oppose the ban?
I oppose the ban, first and foremost, because it is illegal. In Nigeria, Muhammadu Buhari, the president, does not reign supreme. Andrew Oboforibo does not reign supreme. Kola Wole does not reign supreme. The constitution and rule of law reign supreme in Nigeria as a liberal democracy.
Okay.
And so, even if every single thing my co-debater said about Twitter were true, and it isn't, it would still be wrong for the government to take action against Twitter that exceeds the government's legal power to take. People rob in markets. People sexually harass women in markets. But people are also trading in markets. Imagine if you were to wake up and hear that the government has demolished Balogun Market because they found out that some people were robbing there or sexually harassing women there. We would all say that, yes, those things should have been stopped, but demolishing the market to do so was, one, excessive, and two, probably illegal. So that's what we're talking about here. Kola Wole, my co-debater, is very focused on what he sees as the offense that Twitter has committed, but is not addressing the fact as to whether the government's reaction to the offense was itself legal. Are you allowed to shoot somebody on the street as a policeman simply because you suspect him to have committed a crime? No, we have processes. And we have heard from all the lawyers. We have heard all the lawyers say simply that when it comes to taking action against a website like Twitter, the government does not have the legal right to bar that website absent of a court order.
Okay.
It's just that simple. I know in Nigeria we're used to a lack of rule of law and presidents acting unilaterally, but it is simply not legal. If the president had these concerns about Twitter, he should have gone through the processes. But let's address these concerns and get out of the way this idea that there was some merit to taking this action against Twitter. My co-debater is pointing out that the president's tweet was harmless and an innocent tweet, and it got deleted. I will point out, by the way, that nobody forced the president to be on Twitter. The president chose to create an account and sign up to Twitter. And when he did so, he signed up to the terms and conditions of Twitter, which means submitting himself to the rules of moderation on the platform. Twitter did not wake up and delete the president's tweet. Tens of thousands of Nigerians disagreed with Kola Wole's assessment that the tweet was harmless. They felt it was harmful. They felt it was an incitement to violence. They felt it was a threat. Now, I'm not asking you to agree with them or disagree with them. I'm asking you to realize that Twitter did not wake up and delete the tweet. Twitter responded. So if we are saying, how come Twitter hasn't deleted the tweets from, say, Nnamdi Kanu? I'm sure they've deleted some. The question is, have those tweets been reported? Now, let me give you some statistics here. Twitter has a mechanism that allows governments, including the Nigerian government, to report tweets that they believe are, one, offensive, or two, violate the laws of the land.
Hmm.
Since 2012, Twitter has received requests from governments around the world to delete tweets. They've received 42,000 requests from governments around the world to delete tweets. How many of those 42,000 requests came from the Nigerian government? Zero. Since Twitter started taking those records in 2012, the Nigerian government has made zero formal requests through the instruments, through the process given to all governments to delete tweets. The government has only made 7 requests for information about somebody making a tweet. That's because Twitter gives governments the right to ask, this person that is tweeting, we want to know who they are because we believe that a crime is being committed here. Only 7 times has the government made such a request since 2012, out of the 12,000 requests worldwide from governments. So when the government says Twitter refused to take down Nnamdi Kanu's tweets, the question now becomes, did the government make a good faith effort to inform Twitter? Because let us bear in mind, Twitter themselves have always maintained, always maintained, that it is impossible for them to fully moderate proactively. And so they require input from the community. That is why they have the report tweet function, and they've given government the ability to report tweets themselves. So Twitter has always said, especially since the pandemic, that we need your help. So simply saying, oh, we saw tweets that we don't like, Twitter did not delete those tweets, when the government has never made a formal request to Twitter to delete tweets, instead of that, government has now escalated it and gone to banning Twitter before taking that simple step. If government had taken the step of requesting that Twitter delete tweets, and then Twitter didn't delete the tweets, then we can all say, oh yes, government tried, but Twitter refused to cooperate.
All right, let me come back to Kolawole. Kolawole, do you want to respond to the points that Andy has raised, or do you want me to move on to the next question?
I would like to respond to Andy's submissions. I think Nigerian government has actually made, there's something called a notice and takedown request by Twitter, according to their policy. And I'm also aware that Nigerian government has actually, on several occasions, you know, made a request to Twitter to take down some posts. Which, what I don't know is maybe the Nnamdi Kanu zone, you know, was among. That's number one. Number two, in 2017, Twitter, you know, made an announcement that they are going to be turning to algorithms to clamp down on abusive content, which simply means they are going automated using deep learning algorithms to track abusive content and, you know, policy violating words.
So how this works
is that there's a machine learning algorithm that these social media, you know, these big techs, you know, they resolve into. And in these algorithms, the machine learning, like I said, they train it, then they, you know, they feed it with data, with known data, and the expected outcome. Then after training it, then subsequent data that goes into it, the algorithm will take decision on what to do, whether this content is abusive or not. That has been established. Facebook is also doing the same. Now, if Twitter has actually come online to tell us that they have an algorithm that actually does this, I don't think I need to report anything to Twitter personally. You know why? Because I am depending on the algorithm. I am depending on them. This is a platform that is telling me that you want, you know, they are trying to offer a platform for me to exercise my rights, which is freedom of speech. And I am assuming that everything has been done to do that, to get that done. And this is tech world. And you have told me that you have an algorithm to ensure that that thing is done. So why do I need to report to you? That's one.
That's one, okay.
Two, if I report, many times that people report, you know, abusive or so-called mal information to Twitter, how many times have they responded? Personally, I've actually experienced that. So people will attack me and I want to respond. They will block me. I can't do it, especially on Facebook. I won't be able.
Who will block you?
Social media.
Not even the user.
No.
The platform.
The platform.
Okay.
You know, they give you a warning that this word you want to use is against our policy, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely is algorithm doing that.
Okay.
But I can see that the person that is attacking me first, you know, was able to successfully post his thoughts. Why can't I respond? So it's still, you know, that's also confirmed this biasness we're talking about.
So you're saying that the algorithm is biased against you?
Algorithm is biased. Against me, against people. And that's, you know, let me tell you something. If you don't know, there was a study that was carried out in Oxford by an Oxford Internet Institution Computational Propaganda Research Project. Okay. It was led by one professor, Howard.
Okay.
What the conclusion was?
What?
That this social media giant,
mm-hmm.
they've been providing leverage for people to tell lies, you know, to propagate traditional propaganda.
I see.
And Twitter and Facebook, they are not doing anything about it.
Three minutes. All right. Over to you, Chief.
Okay, great. So let me address the first point about Twitter's algorithms.
3 minutes.
Yes. As Kolawole pointed out, Twitter announced in 2017 that they were going to start using the algorithms more.
Mm.
I'm surprised that Kolawole, who was citing that 2017 announcement from Twitter, didn't cite it in full. Because both in 2017, when they made that initial announcement, and 2020 during the pandemic, each time, Twitter pointed out that the algorithm is not perfect. That the algorithm is still learning. Kolawole explained to us the nature of its deep learning algorithm. I'm glad he used the second word there, learning.
Okay.
So the algorithm isn't born ready to fully moderate.
Okay.
Think of it like a child.
Okay.
So over time, and this is actually, by the way, this is my field of study. I had to study artificial intelligence in school.
Okay.
And that's my bachelor's is in computer science.
Okay.
And the algorithm starts out completely ignorant.
Okay.
It cannot tell the difference between hate speech and normal speech.
Okay.
And over time, it learns to tell the difference by continually being fed more and more information over time.
Okay.
Now, Twitter launched the algorithms in 2017, and at the time, they asked us all to bear with them that the algorithm is going to miss a lot of stuff, and it's also going to falsely catch a lot of people like Kolawole.
Okay.
You know, so they told us ahead of time that until the algorithm can learn, we have to be with this. So when Kolawole says, I assume that the algorithm can handle it, that assumption ignores what Twitter themselves said when they launched the algorithm. Now, 2020, we had the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter had to send a lot of its human moderators home.
Mm.
Now, because of that, the algorithm ended up having to do more work than it was doing before.
Okay.
And now, most of us were now on Twitter more because of the lockdown.
Okay.
So the amount of content increased while the moderation capacity had reduced.
Okay.
So Twitter again in 2020 came out to beg all of us and say, look, bear with us. The moderation system with the algorithm is imperfect.
Okay.
So this idea that if the algorithm is catching some things and missing some things, then it's biased because the algorithm is already perfect.
Okay.
It's flawed and ignores what Twitter themselves has said twice.
You have 1 minute.
2017 and 2020.
Mm.
I also want to challenge his your point about
propaganda.
About requests.
Okay.
I quoted from right before, my last information was on June 3rd, right before the ban on Twitter.
Okay.
From Twitter's Transparency website.
Okay.
And on that website, Twitter themselves, I checked Nigeria, zero requests from 2012 till now.
Okay.
Zero. Take it to the bank.
Okay.
Now, you can also check it on Wayback Machine, Internet Archive, any website that warehouses data, since we are no longer allowed to check the Twitter website. So it's zero. And even the government themselves can't defend that. Now, in terms of, what was the second point?
His second point was about propaganda, about the professor who wrote propaganda.
Propaganda is all over the internet.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, misinformation, disinformation is something that is common to all sides.
Hmm.
The question here is, was there an implicit bias against one person or the other? But in this particular situation, Twitter themselves have pointed out, it was not the algorithm who reported the president. Mm-hmm. It was Nigerians.
All right, let's leave it at that. Let's take a few calls. Lagos 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. You have the gentleman on in the red corner. I'm talking about Kolaole. And you have Chief Oboforibo in the blue corner. And Chief opposes the ban. Kolaole supports the ban. Who do you stand behind? Which points made by the debaters do you agree with? Do you have fresh points of your own that you'd like to share with us on the show? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Deborah.
Turn your radio off, Deborah.
I should turn it off?
Off, yes.
No, basically, I'm in support of the guy that is in support of Twitter. Basically, let me tell you something. Mm. The premise of this ban on Twitter mm-hmm. is just based on the CNN situation with NSAID. So I think that they're just taking it out on Twitter, not basically just banning Twitter so that literally... All the youth have no access to social media.
Okay.
At the end of the day, the gentleman spoke about their policies. Mm. You don't have to be on Twitter. Nobody forces you to be on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or, you know, Snapchat. Okay. It's left for you to go on it.
Okay.
Now, if the language being used is not in compliance with Twitter, okay. then they can actually, you know, delete it. They say it there. And even if Donald Trump was deleted off Twitter. Mm. And basically, that's president, former president of the United States. So at the end of the day, I just think that there could have been ways. There are ways to be diplomatic about things, and they could have spoken Twitter. One of the problems I have is that a lot of Nigerians do trade on Twitter. A lot of Nigerians get information on Twitter. A lot of Nigerians make money on Twitter. Mm. So you have to look at the cost-benefit analysis of you doing what you do when you do it. It's not just basically we're going to have an alternative or we're going to switch off Twitter. Just because I think when the NSAID situation happened and CNN kept reporting on it, it really aggravated a lot of the people within the government.
Thank you very much, Deborah, for calling. We have 1 minute, 30 seconds before we have to take a break. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Solomon.
Turn your radio off. You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds. Go, Solomon.
All right. Personally, I'll go with Kolaole.
Okay.
Because presently, Nigeria airspace have allowed everybody to just come and begin to say anything about the country.
Okay.
Ordinarily, any business that is being set up, it's supposed to abide by the rules of every country.
Okay.
If Twitter is complaining now that they are losing billions of naira, then out of that billion, what percentage is coming to Nigeria?
Okay.
But let us look at the business sense of it. Then now, the minds of the youth is being incited against the government, and the country cannot move forward this way.
Okay.
Personally, I believe that if any operation that is coming to Nigeria, it should be an all-round regulations to all social media. You don't just come, they're just a sovereign country. You don't allow people to come and incite the people against the people, against the government. And it's part of what is fueling violence in this country, and which has to stop. Nigeria is becoming more tense. Anything you post on air now, people begin to react to it negatively.
Mm.
So to me, I'm going to call out Wally, every social media activity should be moderated in a way that is going to suit the peace of everybody in the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got Andy opposing the Twitter ban, Kolaole supporting the Twitter ban, and we've got a break coming up. After the break, we'll come back, though, and take more of your thoughts. Now, of course, I'm not going to go away until I take some comments from Facebook. And Ehikamen says that... the ban on Twitter is a misplacement of priority. The reason for the ban is invalid. It's not consistent with Nigeria's national constitution. Therefore, the ban is null and void. Even saying that Twitter is a threat to the peace of the country. What happens to Boko Haram? Kidnappers, bandits, and... that message is gone because it's on the live Facebook stream. Well, Lagos, share your thoughts with us on the live stream. Why don't you? Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. When we come back from this break, and we're going to be back at 5:36. 5:36, we're back on air. When we come back, we're going to talk about the legality of this ban. We've heard from multiple lawyers discussing the legality. I wonder what Kolawole has to say. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
It's 5:37. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. Do you support or oppose the Twitter ban? Biggest conversation in the country, or one of the biggest conversations in the country. And we have two people on opposing sides of that debate on the show today. In the red corner, we have Kolawole Adekunle. He's a public commentator. In the blue corner, we've got Chief Andy Oboforibo, who is a policy analyst. Chief Oboforibo opposes the ban. Kolawole Adekunle supports the ban on Twitter. They've told us why. They've also attacked each other's points. And now that we're back from the break, let's talk about the legality of the ban and the way that it's been done. Kolawole, I've had several lawyers on this show, and I've asked them the question of the legality about, the legality of the way this ban has been done. What do you say to that?
Sandra, I think before we talk about legality, we should consider the morality, because typically it's morality that actually leads to legality. So is this ban substantiated morally? I think yes.
Sorry, you said that again. Morality leads to legality?
Yes. Okay. So in laws, you consider morality before you talk about,
legality. Are you a lawyer?
I'm not a lawyer, but I read a lot. Considering that, I think... in terms of morality, this is actually this makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. In Nigeria, I am not aware if you have any law, in terms of internet censorship or all this kind of stuff. But I know that this conversation is going to be based on human rights. Mm-hmm. And here, if you look at this, we are talking about the people and the government. Considering this from different perspective, the people are talking about freedom of speech and the impact of of this ban on their business.
Right.
But the government is actually considering basically three things: protection of national sovereignty, security, then now tax and adherence to the law of the land.
You have 1 minute.
And in terms of human rights, according to Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the definition of freedom of speech is clear. However, according to the version 19 in the ICCPR, which is International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, it says, and I quote, as amended, that stating that the exercise of this right carries special duties and responsibility and may therefore be subject to certain restrictions when necessary for respect of the rights or reputation of others, or for the protection of national security or of public order, in bracket, order public, of public health, which simply means that human right that we are talking about in terms of freedom of speech and freedom of expression is not absolute.
I see. Chief Oboforibo, the legality of this ban, and of course you can address the points that Kolawole has made. You've got 2 minutes.
I'm almost tempted to dash my 2 minutes to Kolawole, because you asked him a simple question about the legality in Nigerian law for this ban, and he spent his whole 2 minutes without listing one single law, Nigerian law, that can justify this ban. And I won't dash in my 2 minutes, because I'll just give you the answer. There is none. And that's why he's having to tell us about the International Convention on Human Rights. Those conventions exist. But as we all know, the conventions are there as guidelines. But the implementation is reliant on laws in the home country.
Okay.
Now, the Constitution is the sovereign law of the land. And the Constitution guarantees that freedom of speech. The Constitution gives within the... Yes, the Constitution allows for exemptions to freedom of speech if... under specific circumstances, in the existence of laws that can take advantage of those circumstances. But in this particular instance, the federal government did not do the simple homework of creating the law that allows them to make the argument and say, we are blocking free speech on Twitter because of, let's say, national security, or let's say because it threatens violence or whatever it is. The government was supposed to create the law. then enforce the law by asking for a ban. That's why previously this same government was trying to pass the social media bill.
Okay.
Because the social media bill was intended to be the law that gives government the right to instruct ISPs, internet companies, to block websites.
Okay.
Now, if the social media bill had been passed, then when you, and then they ban Twitter, when you ask this question about the legality, Kola Wole could have very simply, in 15 seconds, told you the social media bill of 2020 or 2019.
Okay.
But because that social media bill was never passed, Kola Wole has no answer for you. There is no law giving government the right to do this. And that is why all the lawyers who you've had on your show have simply said the same thing. The only thing the lawyers have said is, well, the ISPs and the broadcasters should go and challenge the government in court, but they can't do it right now because the courts are closed. But now your courts will be open on Monday.
Your time's up. Kola Wole, do you have answers for Andy?
Well, what I would just say is that, so let us assume there is no law. First of all, I am not a lawyer.
You have
so,
1 minute to
so
reply.
There is no law, but will I wait for social media to be used as a platform to set my company, my country ablaze? Okay. I'm not going to do that. I need to act. And that is exactly what the government has done by placing, you know, a ban or a suspension on Twitter. You know, for Twitter, to for Nigerians or for IPOP people and other group of people, other group of violent people, you know, to stop using the platform to incite hate and violence in the country. And that, for me, I think that's justifiable.
Andy?
Yeah, well, let's just go back to military rule. You said government should act. If government believes it's a threat, I agree, government should act. You know what acting is? Government should go write a bill and pass it through the National Assembly and let the president sign it. Act, create the law, and then act on the law. But when government decides that, oh, you know what, it's not convenient to create a law, let's just take whatever action is in our church mind. What happens when tomorrow, Kola Wole, government decides that the threat to Nigeria's sovereignty is your existence? And decides that the best way to keep Nigeria together is to lock you up without any crime or kill you, God forbid. Laws exist, and we bind government and force government to pass laws before they act because we should all always be afraid of government, because government has more power than all of us. And the idea is we restrict government to only act when there is a law empowering them to do so. If you've decided that, no, government can just act whenever the president decides that this is the right thing to do and infringe on rights, then let's just go back to military rule.
But Andy, the federal government says that the ban is necessary because Twitter has been a source of danger to the corporate identity of Nigeria. Some of the points that Kola Wole has made. Specifically, the government says that Twitter has allowed groups like IPOB to incite violence against the state. Does the government not have a right to take steps in the interests of national security, Andy?
They always have the right to take steps, but within the rule of law. So what the government, and that is why we have a separation of powers. The executive cannot just act alone and create new powers for itself. The executive either has to go to the legislature, let them create a law, or go to the judiciary and say, I want a court order based on existing laws. Because there, you know, that the fact that the executive believes there is a threat does not mean that the executive is just empowered to do anything it likes to fight that threat. If not, what stops them from, you know, Sandra, now with your dreadlocks, they decide armed robbery is a threat and armed robbers have dreadlocks, so let's carry you too. You know, that is where it starts. And I'm actually surprised that we're even having this debate. The moment you say, let's not talk about legality, no, instead let's talk about morality, like, I think at that point you should just off your mic, because what you're saying is, we don't want to be governed by laws.
Well, on Nigeria Info, your mic is always on. Lai Mohammed, the information minister, says one of the problems is that Twitter doesn't pay tax here. I'll come to you, Kola Wole, with that question. He's also saying that one of the conditions is for them to register as a corporate entity here. What do you think about these conditions?
So, Cynthia, just like I posted
Sandra.
On my... I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go
Sandra,
ahead.
I'm sorry about that. Sandra, just like I posted on my Facebook page yesterday.
Right.
First of all, by my understanding, before you can register in Nigeria, you need to register with CAC, and you must have an address. You must have a physical structure. I don't think Twitter has any in Nigeria. So how do we want to do that? For me, I'm still waiting. I don't know how they are going to tax Twitter in Nigeria, or how they are going to enforce Twitter to register in Nigeria. So for me, I am still wrapping my head around that. I have to be sincere with you on this.
Okay.
So there are basically two things. You know, of course, I support the ban, but there are basically two things that I'm still wrapping my head on. One is what I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is how Malami is going to prosecute people, you know, that are bypassing the internet to make use of Twitter.
Okay.
I really can't, you know, I really don't understand it all. I have to be sincere with you on that.
Okay.
But if there is anything, according to the law, that can be done to ensure that Twitter and other social social media companies can pay tax and can be registered in Nigeria, then so be it.
Andy?
Well, you're wondering why Malami thinks he can prosecute without a law giving him the power to do so, but it's for the same reason why the president and information minister believe they can ban Twitter without a law empowering them to do so. They are both fruits from this of the same tree of lawlessness. So if you understand one, you should understand the other. If you realize that one does not make sense legally, you should realize the other doesn't make sense legally either. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that you can't wrap your head around the Malami one. I'm hoping eventually you see that it's the same problem with banning Twitter without a law. Mm-hmm. But coming to the tax question, I think also the federal government hasn't wrapped its head fully around how to handle Twitter.
Okay.
And that's why they're doing this. Lai Mohammed seems not to realize that there is something called BEPS, Base Erosion Profit Sharing.
Mm.
It's the big question in taxation globally right now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you tax a company that is domiciled in one country but operating globally?
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, today, the International Bureau for Fiscal Documentation, that's a global body that you know, gives us information on taxation, was having a conference on BEPS specifically. The federal government was not there represented. You had governments from all over Africa. But you see, this is what always happens. You know, if they were there, they would realize, I attended, they would realize that there's already a model in place for this problem.
Mm.
The UN has made it such that Nigeria can tax Twitter without Twitter registering here or opening an office. I mean, Sandra, we're not in 1915, you know? So what you do is, Twitter is in America, but there's something called SEP, Significant Economic Presence.
Right.
So Twitter does business in Nigeria and other countries. They have a significant economic presence here.
Right.
Under that framework, that allows Nigeria to tax Twitter without Twitter being present here.
Mm.
What needs to happen is that Nigeria also has, last year, Nigeria set up its own SEP tax policies.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, under current Nigerian regulations, Nigeria can tax Twitter.
Mm.
So Lai Mohammed saying, oh, Twitter is not paying tax here. He needs to go and ask the FIRS. He needs to go and ask some one or two questions because he seems not to be fully informed about the situation.
Let's go to WhatsApp where we've got Okwi, who says, Mr. Kolole is being emotional and sentimental with his support for the ban of Twitter. You should know that Nnamdi Kanu is not residing in Nigeria. He's residing in the UK, and it's by UK laws that he's operating Radio Biafra. He's duly registered in the UK. They paid money to Her Majesty. Okay, this sounds like a lot of propaganda. I'm not going to read it on the show. We've got Solomon, who says, an executive decision cannot be considered a law reasonably justified in a democratic society. As we speak, there's no legislation from the National Assembly prohibiting the use. The ban is an attack and suppression of the freedom of expression guaranteed under the Constitution and other international human right norms that Nigeria is a party to. Solomon, thank you very much for your message. Chineme says, it's an illusion to think that Twitter is the big loser in this matter. These internet service providing companies have what the citizens of Nigeria want. We are in the technology age. The internet space is way bigger than the government of Nigeria. Citizens can technologically get internet service without CAC approval. Chineme, thank you for your message. All right, so I'm trying to get through the messages as quickly as possible. Okonna from Lekki Phase 1 says, it seems the federal government is starting to act like herders. When you restrict them of doing unlawful things, they attack you simply because they feel they have the power. Adeshino says, the debater who is against the ban made my day. God bless you. All right, Adeshino, thank you very much for your message. I'm looking for people who support. I agree with everything Kolawole has said. Yes, there's definitely a bias by Twitter, which I mentioned last time I was on the show. If you look at issues around the world, you can clearly see the bias. For example, if you look at the issue between Israel and Palestine, the tweets that will show up on your feed will only support Palestine. However, no tweet explaining the fact that Hamas launched rockets at Israel first were very visible to users on the hashtag feeds. That's actually a lie. This bias only worsened the issues because people all over the world kept showing support to one side, which infuriated another side the more. This is also also a lie. And no, I do not support whatever Israel has done. I'm only speaking about the bias shown by big tech. Well, a lot of the things you said are inaccurate, but that's not the debate for today. eBay says, I should ask Chief O, my big uncle, to confirm if Twitter issued the usual warning that gives any account holder a chance to delete any flagged tweet, deactivate or block the account. Did they give the president such an option, or they just went ahead to yank off his tweet to slight his person and office? Chief, that's a question for you.
Yes, the terms and conditions of Twitter do not guarantee you that right. If you read the terms and conditions, Twitter does it, but it's a discretionary power. Twitter can just delete your tweet, or they can flag it, or they can tell you, and they decide based on what they feel is egregious or not. And at the end of the day, and that's what we come back to, the president...
Well, some media reports actually say that the president's account was banned for 8 hours. It was suspended for 8 hours before the tweet was deleted.
And some other reports say that it wasn't. I don't hold brief one way or the other, but then again, we're going to the realm here where the president... Are we agreeing that Twitter was banned because they deleted the president's tweet?
Okay.
Because the president has been saying, no, he didn't pay me, or that's not why.
Let's step away from that. I've got somebody who's asking if they can get a recording of this show. Yes, Hard Facts is available as a podcast. You can watch it after the fact. You can listen after the fact as well. It's also currently streaming on YouTube and Facebook. Let me try and take two calls, 1 minute, 30 seconds each. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, hello, good afternoon. Good
Thank
evening.
You for calling. Good evening. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Colin from Yaba.
You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah, Mr. Andy, you are the son of your sister. And as for Mr. Kola Ole, well, you have to pray for Nigerian youth. You have to pray for them. I disagree a bit with Mr. Andy. On the making money from Twitter and social media. Are you there, ma'am?
I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I disagree a bit. See, I want to use the Australian model. I felt the Nigerian government should have followed that model. The way the Australian government were able to extract more money from Facebook. Not that they're not actually making money, but they wanted to make more money, and they went through the legal framework, the whole rule of law, and they went there and they did what they had to do. And Facebook was forced to come back to the negotiator's table, and they did the right thing. The only mistake, useless, foolish mistake the Nigerian government made was to not to follow the rule of law, and they were using all sort of lies like IPOP or what does that even mean?
Thank you very much for calling. Collins, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah, two very quick points. The first one is that one of the big flaws of the president's interview this afternoon was the fact that he didn't mention anywhere that he was going to collaborate with his legislature to bring out laws.
Okay.
He sounded as if all of the problem of government and administration of government was resting on top of his head, which is wrong in a democracy.
Okay.
So I stand completely against Kola Ole. You don't just use powers that way in a democracy.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Now, the second thing I want to say is that if you think that that's how...
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Has that call been banned?
99.3. Hello. 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 All right, then. 99.3.
Good evening.
You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
All right. Yeah, I support the person against ban.
Okay.
Let me just say it. Kola Ole, I want to ask him a question.
Okay.
Is Twitter the main problem of Nigeria? Because the way he was saying it, I was confused at the point.
Okay.
Like Fulani herdsmen attacking, he said Twitter is inciting violence. How? On Twitter, do they kill each other on Twitter? So it's just sometimes, I don't know, I'm always disappointed in the way some youths just talk. I don't get it at all. I support Mr. Andy with my whole heart.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello? All right then. Hello, thank you for calling us. Sorry about that, call back if you can. Hello? Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I want to say I completely support Mr. Andrew.
You completely support Mr. Andrew. Thank you very much for calling to share your thoughts. I wish we had more time to get this debate to keep going. I know, but we're completely out of time. I know, but hey, Kalawale Adekunle, thank you so much for first of all telling me that you could come and do this, and coming like you promised to do this. And Chief Andrew Boforebo, you're a friend of the show. Thank you for coming every time we call on you. Lagos, this has been real. I loved it. I think I'm going to make this like a weekly thing. We'll pick one issue and bring two heavyweights to come and debate it. All right, let me give you a chance to win some money on the show. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, Sandra.